Hello,
Hello.
what it
Hi.
do? Welcome back to America.
I know. I'm back.
Actually missed you. I feel like we d like our FaceTimes had to be set within different time zones versus me randomly calling you and being forced to answer.
It was really sad. I really missed you. Your trip to Martha's Vineyard looked really, really nice and very wholesome.
Oh
And I
my
love
God,
nice and
yes.
wholesome.
Yes, it
But
was
I'm
so
back in
nice.
America. I'm having mixed feelings about it.
Yeah, tell me about your trip. What'd you get into? Why were you in London?
I literally just landed a couple hours ago. I was gone for 2 weeks and some change. 2 weeks and some
Wow.
change. I did Aspen for the 4th of July with some friends, and then from Aspen, I flew to London for work. We had a summer event, summer party in London, and then I stayed in the office and worked from the office with some of my with my team the following week. So I was in London for like a good week and a half, and it was really fun. I haven't been to London in like 5 years. The last time I was in London was right after I graduated university. So I hadn't been back to London since then. And I remember going back home too. I was so broke. I had to call my mom at like probably 2 in the morning her time and ask her and had to ask her to send me $20 so I could check my bag and go home. Because I had no money. I was really struggling.
I've been there. I've been there. But the thing is, it's like you deteriorated like on your way back home. Like there is just no makeup beauty products left in your bag. Everything's empty. It's just
Yeah.
you, your suitcase with your $12 tank top that you got from Forever 21 before you left.
Zara. Zara.
Zara.
Never Forever 21.
Was a time. There was a time and place.
In middle school, yeah.
Yeah. In middle school,
Yeah. Yeah.
way before you were 21.
Yeah,
But
exactly.
that's fun.
So
And you're
yes, I got to
back.
go back to London. It was great. It was so fun. I got to be there for work, but also it was like the perfect mix of working, getting to like meet my coworkers in person for the first time, and relaxing. I ended up going to the Cotswolds, which is really what I wanted to do. I did like a little countryside escape and getaway. Also really good learning for myself there. I thought I was gonna go on a solo trip and everyone was like, "Oh, that's so fun. How are you gonna get there?" And I was like, "I'm just gonna rent a car and drive." And they're like, "No, you're not gonna just rent a car and drive." In London, they drive on the left side of the street.
Yeah.
So you I'm sure you
Immediately,
can
yeah.
imagine how that would have turned out. So I hitchhiked a ride with a coworker and it was great. It worked out
Oh, that's so
perfectly.
fun.
Yeah.
Coworkers to besties. We'll have to talk about the boundary setting when it
Coworkers
comes
to
to
besties.
all of that.
But
Well,
yeah, how was your weekend, long weekend week?
was good. For the 4th, I went to Ohio. I went to see Dave Chappelle. He does this like summer series where he's from in Yellow Springs
Okay.
in a field, and that was amazing. And I have a story I want to tell, but when we're back in the studio, because I think it's really
Okay.
funny about
Okay, good.
interacting with him. So that was really fun. And then my partner and I, my boyfriend and I, flew to Toronto to see Beyonce and her first stop in
Beyonce.
North America, and that was incredible. Like life-changing. It was crazy seeing her in like 3D. Like this is her as a human performing for 50,000 people.
Had you ever seen her before?
I'd seen her before. I saw her in at Made in America in Philly,
Okay.
and that was the tour, that was the Run the World tour. So it was when the screen, like she did a lot of effects with like the screen and her body and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
So it felt less like, okay, here she is performing. It was like, here's this theatrical production. And the
Got
Renaissance
it.
tour
Yeah.
was also theatrical, but there was also so much like dancing and movement. And so it was like way more personified, if that makes sense.
Is
But the crowd
she
was
the
amazing.
best? Is she the best performer that you've ever seen to date?
Yeah, hands down, 100%. There's no competition.
And what was your favorite song that she performed?
Okay, this is really great because I wish I could have seen the Formation tour, because Lemonade, I think, is one of my favorite Beyoncé albums, just because of the fact it really has to, it's, she's talking to Black women, and so that, like, whole video, I don't know, I just loved it. So all of the songs that were off of that album, I loved. Well, she didn't do too many, but she did Formation off of that. And then I also loved some of her throwbacks. Like, she did Love on Top, and she made everybody sing the chorus, you know, when it goes like, and she made everybody go high.
Oh my God. My God sisters would have freaked out.
Yeah. It was amazing.
Oh, that's their favorite performer, favorite artist of all time.
Yeah, she's great. I want to go to one of the, now I understand. I used to be like, when people would say, oh, I've been to 5 shows off of this one tour, I'd be like, okay, girl, like, chill. But now I'm like, I kind of want to see her again. Anyway, so then we drove to, all of the flights out of Canada were canceled. So we had to drive to Buffalo, walk across the border because Ubers aren't allowed across the border.
Rent the car. You actually walked across the border.
Yeah, we walked across the border. Like, literally, I thought that was a joke. No. Yeah, we walked across the border. It was literally me and all my bags.
You might be from Delta Premier Cold status to walking across the border with all of your bags.
Well, it was funny because when we passed the Canadian whatever border patrol, they were like, why were you in Canada? And I was like, we went to see Beyonce. And she's like, 20 people have actually walked across the border in your situation. So it was like everyone in their Formation tour or their Renaissance tour, like, garb walking across the border. It was so funny.
Hilarious. I'm glad you made it back. Yeah.
Anyway, there's so much stuff that's happened in the real world other than between me and you these past few weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of stuff happening in the real world. A lot of stuff that's giving people reason to share commentary on, which is really unfortunate in my opinion. And I do want to preface that by saying I hate commenting on people's dirty laundry. Like, I hate it, but they did it. Like, it's out there.
I know. I was talking, and I think specifically we're talking about, like, stuff to do with people's relationships. And I was talking to my partner about this, and I think the biggest takeaway as a woman that deals with dating men, slash anyone that's in relationships, that it was, is a lot of people experience this at a different level. And I think it's given people the tools to be able to have productive, fruitful conversations with their partners when it comes to, like, what boundaries are, and I'm saying that in quotes, or how to be their true selves while being in a relationship. And so he also said something similar to what you said, which is, like, dirty laundry, which I totally agree with. But the one bright side is that people can put a face to what they go through in their own private relationships. But this kind of, it's really interesting that this happened at this time, because I was building this mini thesis in my mind about therapy, basically, and Western therapy specifically, and talk therapy, and definitely a strong advocate of people going to therapy. However, I've seen this interesting trend online, and it feels like a lot of, and I said this a couple weeks ago, but a lot of people use therapy language and therapy talk, I'd say, which is basically someone, like, intellectualizing their emotions to a degree that it makes it actually unreachable to, like, the average person having a conversation. So it seems like they're right, even if they are not right. And it's also gotten to the point where people who are in deep therapy sometimes can say when they fuck up in a situation, they can say, I'm an evolving person, I'm in therapy, and this is the reason why I'm acting this way, because of the trauma I've been through as a child or whatever. However, when someone else that's really close to them in their life fucks up, they're a narcissist, they're self-centered, and also using therapy speak to like diagnose their actions. However, there isn't a sense of compassion for other people as there are for themselves. So there's this interesting, I don't know, maybe it's like a little bit ironic where we give ourselves grace in social situations, but we don't let other people have the same grace that we give ourselves at times.
I think that's fair. I think that that's true because I think a lot of times things can seem so black and white whenever you're just reading it or taking it at face value. And so it's really, everyone's just very quick to jump on the bandwagon of judgment or thoughts or share their own opinion versus ever for a second thinking, okay, first, let me take a few minutes to extend some grace here. It's just not people's like first knee-jerk reaction.
And I don't know. I think that when it comes to setting your own boundaries, which is definitely something very important, and we're kind of talking specifically about this thing that happened between Jonah Hill and his girlfriend, where he kind of set out what his boundaries were, but and I'm not a therapist, you're not a therapist, but seems as though he like used boundaries in a different definition than what might be widely accepted by, it seems as though, the therapy community.
Like therapists and anyone that talks about those things. So, I'm just like a little bit of background. So, Jonah Hill's ex-girlfriend, her name was Sarah Brady, I believe. She took to social media last week and shared posts that were comparing, like shared posts and social commentary that compared the Keke Palmer situation and her boyfriend, that whole controversy, to what she went through with Jonah Hill. And so, in a series of stories that she shared, she opened up about her relationship with Jonah Hill, where she like described him as like a misogynist, narcissist, and how she was emotionally abused in the relationship, and just kind of like shared screenshots from their private conversations, where I guess Jonah Hill was, maybe people would say, was exuding or seemingly exhibiting like controlling narcissistic behaviors or behaviors of being emotionally abusive, which I'm not one to, I have no reason to comment on their relationship or situation whatsoever, but it made me really think and sit about what it meant to create boundaries and have boundaries for yourself. I realized in that moment too that I don't really have boundaries in a relationship.
With
And my romantic relationships definitely have boundaries, like internal boundaries for myself, and have boundaries, like unspoken boundaries with probably like family members and maybe some of my closest friends, maybe.
And why do you feel like you haven't had that conversation in your relationships?
I don't know that I've had like situations in my well, I mean, I could be lying. Like now that I'm actually sitting here thinking about it, I'm like, some boundaries that I had in my last relationship, because our relationship was long distance, like there's periods of times when I want to be very in my routine, and I'm committed to sticking to my routine. Granted, I can't say that I stick it to my routine like religiously 24/7, but there were moments where I would say, okay, I'm not picking up my phone to answer calls after 9 p.m., which was 6 p.m. on the West Coast time. So in that moment, in that time, it was just me trying to set very hard boundaries for myself, so that way I could give myself to be present in the relationship when it made sense, but then also still taking the time to like prioritize, like, I have a routine, I have a schedule, I have, you know, work in the morning. I don't want to be going to bed at like 12 a.m. because that's the only time that I get to talk to my partner. So it's also really realizing that I had to set boundaries for myself in that instance. But other than that, I don't have... Someone asked me the other day, would you set a boundary of, you know, how many girlfriends like a guy you were seeing could have, or how many, like how a guy, if you're seeing this guy, how he hangs out with his girlfriends, like, do you care about those things? And I was like, no, those aren't boundaries to me. That's just being controlling, I think. But everyone probably has a different opinion or a different view of what their boundaries are.
Mm-hmm. That is an interesting point to make, the line between a healthy boundary and a being controlling in a relationship. I feel I've never had to set a controlling boundary around people someone can hang out with or what's it called, primarily because I haven't been in a relationship where I felt insecure enough by the partner in order that I felt like I needed to have that conversation.
Right. Well, and I was also listening to someone. I mean, I think you can look at boundaries very different, like in two different ways too. Like boundaries can also be set in situations where you kind of have to protect your mental health and emotional well-being when you are dealing with or in situations with people who can be draining, but people that are like essentially never going to leave your life. Family, perfect example of, you know, having boundaries with your family so that way you can stay like mentally sane and continue to exist as your whole self with, you know, 100, like operating at 100% capacity with yourself and the people that are going to be in your life forever. So that's another reason why I was thinking maybe I won't necessarily have boundaries in a relationship now because it would be too early. But I do have boundaries with, let's say, my family members, like my mom or my legacy friendships. So like friendships of like 5, 10 plus years, where that over time has been needed to establish, you've needed to establish boundaries because these people are going to be in my life for essentially ever. So it's necessary. If it comes to me dating someone for like a few weeks or a few months and I'm like, I have these boundaries, it's like, I don't think I do. I don't think I do.
And I think boundaries also can come from prior relationships, though. If someone has been really wronged by someone, it's good to have a conversation about things that trigger someone, whether that be they have been cheated on in the past and it was a really messed up situation with a friend or something like that. Having awareness is really important, but of course, working through that so that it doesn't become like too much a burden to your other partner. But where it becomes problematic is where you set a boundary to someone that like inhibits their ability to be themselves, or is a boundary that kind of controls them from the reason that you dated them in the first place. For example, like policing what somebody wears or what someone dresses or what someone posts online, or even to a degree who they're friends with, right?
Yeah. Yes, definitely. When were you first exposed to either the word boundaries or your own boundaries?
I feel like when it came from like a physical sense, like in elementary school, like keep your hands to yourself, like all of that stuff when it comes to wow. physical boundaries. But when it comes to emotional, it was actually, I remember we were reading this book and I took this class on relationships in high school, which is, have I spoken about this on the podcast? I don't know if I have.
I don't know.
I went to a really great high school that they taught us, we had comprehensive health courses every single year, but we also had conversations about how to navigate being in romantic, familial, and also friend-based relationships, and to a degree career, but less so, it was less applicable. And we were reading this like short story about this girl who had to set boundaries with her dad. And it was like, whenever he drinks, I can leave. And that was the boundary she set for herself. And that was really safe for her. And then we also read stories about what it means to be in an emotionally manipulative relationship and a physically manipulative relationship and how hard it is to leave. And I think sometimes, and this kind of goes into what you were saying at the very beginning, which is really interesting, which is what right do us as random people on the internet that did not go to counseling, I don't know, to get our counseling degrees or whatever, and are definitely not experts on the topic, have to comment on what people should or shouldn't do, which also kind of calls into question the whole like relationship advice, I don't know, like podcast industry that's come out of a lot of dating shows. And I guess I answered your question, but also want to like kind of point it to more of that conversation, which is what right do people that have been on reality TV, but also like are a part of like pop culture, have to comment on issues that kind of breach entertainment into mental health?
Oh, is that a question?
I don't know if it's a question, more as something that it's not really an answer, but like a topic to be had. Because
honestly, I'm sure therapists hate it. Like, I'm mm-hmm. sure therapists have to hate one whenever, I mean, I just don't think it's ever nice to see, you know, your personal, intimate life, private, like what happens behind closed doors be exposed or aired in public, on social media, whatever it is. But I'm also, because I think, you know, I follow a few therapists online, on social, and I'm helpful for the tools that they share publicly, things that they make people aware of. But then I also, like everything that you see and read on social media, you have to take with a more, like one, take it with a grain of salt. And then two, also just take it with a more like speculative eye and just be skeptical mm-hmm. of what you read on social. Because I'm sure therapists, at a certain point, I'm sure people then share things in therapy speak, as you would say, that have not, that they're just not, you know, licensed to talk about, they don't have experience with talking about, and then that could get shared thousands of times, or that could get viewed hundreds of times. And now you're in kind of like this spiral of, well, how do we use therapy speak in our day to day? How appropriate mm-hmm. is the language that we're using? Is it even appropriate for the situation? So I also even have to like catch myself whenever I listen to relationship advice podcasts, or I read, you know, these like thoughts or points from therapists. I think a lot of it is you just have to take it with a grain of salt. You know, you just have to be like slightly skeptical, not take it as truth, mm-hmm. and just use your own best judgment.
Yes. I remember two things, and I have kind of a good analogy of this. I remember learning manners growing up, and My brother and I used to actually torture each other based off of manners. So we learned like no elbows on the table. And so if someone's elbow grazed the table, we'd be like, "Mom, brother's elbow's on the table. Blah 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 blah." And that's messed up. And like it got to a point where it was like, "It's fine if your elbows are on the table. Like, who gives a fuck?" And I feel like the same goes for therapy speak. I remember learning in health class too, when you talk about your emotions with someone, and you've probably heard this as well, it's bad to say, "You did this." It's better to say, "I feel this way when you do this." And so I don't know what TV show this is, but I remember there was this dad that like learned that in therapy that day and then taught it to his family. And it kind of got like in this weird snowball where he wasn't a good authority to teach his family about what he learned in therapy, primarily because he was the fucked up one that was creating a lot of drama in the family. So it's, you know, those people that like read one book and suddenly they're an expert on whatever topic it was. The same goes for therapy, where just because you went to one session doesn't mean you can over-intellectualize everybody's emotions in your life, because that can be really damaging. And frankly, what right do you have?
My brain just is not wired that way. Like it's not wired to police anyone else except for myself, you know? So I'm sure that people, I mean, people clearly definitely do that. It's just it, I just could, I can't, I can't, I can't.
I think it goes into just like self-righteous behavior where
That's,
what a lot of
I'm lucky to not have people in my life like that, I think. Because I know what you mean. I feel like I only primarily see examples of it on like on television shows, whether it be like reality TV or even, you know, like I love like have you ever seen the show Girls? That's written by Lena Dunham on HBO. Favorite show. Like that is just the perfect example. Do you know, remember Marnie's character? Marnie was so self-righteous. She was such a bitch. Like she would go to therapy and then impose all of her boundaries on everyone else, which would just be then policing all of her friends and being like, "Well, I don't like this. I don't like that you said this. I don't like that you said that." That's what it reminds me of. But like, I feel like I'm lucky that I don't have people in my life that do that or that seemingly do that.
I feel lucky that I don't either. I think where I could see that coming is with more heritage legacy relationships that are probably more like familial. Not really any I can pinpoint in my own life, but I could see that happening with like really old friendships or really old stuff where there's a lot of emotional baggage, where people aren't just on the same, and even dating relationships where people clearly aren't on the same page and they won't be on the same page because when one person wants to come to the table, the other person leaves the table and it goes back and forth like that.
So going forward, do you have boundaries that you set? How are you going to set boundaries? Do you set boundaries? Are they important for you? Not really.
I think I have too many unsaid boundaries, and I want to have a little bit more outlined boundaries. With my partner, for example, we have a lot of boundaries given the fact we just started moving in together, and like we went
Ooh,
through every
yeah.
room and I was like, "This is how I like this. This is how I like this. This is how I like this." And he did too. And it's so great because people care about different stuff like so much. Like, I couldn't give a frick if, I don't know, like the laundry is clean but is in a basket, but it's sitting in the laundry room. But some people see that and are like, "Oh my God, fold your clothes. Like, stop." And so it's stuff like that where I just wanted to get a clean slate. Everybody know everything. Like, he had one where in the dishwasher, he puts all of the like utensils together. And I love that now. Like I put all the forks together, all of the knives, because when you unload it, it's so much easier. So
Okay, these are like too specific now. Like, I get it. I get it. I get what you're saying, but that's like too specific. I think you guys can load and unload the dishwasher how you like.
no, I like it. So the thing is, when you live with different people, you know how different
Yeah.
families have different like ways of
Yes.
living? I
Yes.
learned that, and I actually am really glad that I lived with people at different points in my life because it improves the way I live. Like when I lived
It
with,
definitely makes you more malleable. It makes you a little bit more accommodating.
yeah, exactly. I mean, now I'm at the point in my life where I'm like, this is
Until
how I
you're
want it to be.
exactly. I definitely lied. Like I definitely set boundaries with my roommate when I had one, and that's one moment in time where I do say where I do think boundaries are also very like important to address in the beginning head on, because I also know myself. I've never really had the smoothest like living situation with people, because I also realize that I can be a very difficult and passive person. Like I said, I let things bottle up until I implode. So in an effort to not do that with my old roommate, we like outlined very clear boundaries from the beginning, and some of them did make me seem super bitchy, but in hindsight, it helped us live together so well, because at the end of the day, I just know myself. And I know that I would not be enjoyable to be around or enjoyable to live with. It was so funny because my best friend, who we've lived together like several years throughout college, was like, someone asked her, oh, because she was moving to New York. We were definitely considering living together for a little bit, depending on my lease, but that ship sailed. Someone asked her, oh, do you think you guys would live well together? And she was like, Yeah, I could definitely see myself living with Brie. You just don't talk to her in the morning, and she just kind of bops around with her headphones on all day. And I was like, wait, that's literally, that's so true. My friends know me so well at this point. Don't talk to me in the morning, and then just let me bop around with my headphones and be in my own like space. And then we
Yeah,
learned to
and
live together so well.
it can feel so passive aggressive if you move in with someone and they're like, I made breakfast for you, like, yay. And you're
Oh,
like,
yeah.
hold on, hold
Please
up,
don't talk to me. Yeah.
till
I
I have
had
my coffee.
my last rule was do not talk to me in the morning. Don't look at me. Don't speak to me. Because even the slightest chipper hello will throw me off. I'm like not a morning
See,
person
this is stuff you
whatsoever.
need to tell your future bae.
Yeah. No, yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. People who need to know those things will know.
Yeah, if you know,
Yeah.
if you didn't know, now you know. Anywho, it was
Exactly.
so great catching up and can't wait to hang out IRL.
Let's
And
catch up in the studio soon.